from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. I don't know if you could sense what Scoots is cooking up. Ideally, you can't smell like this is a smell-free podcast, unless the smell's good. You say, oh boy, is that coconut and vanilla or lavender and something else? Eucalyptus it is. Yes, it is. But I'd rather you sense what I'm cooking up tonight, because it's time for episode 900, hopefully, because I'm recording this ahead of time. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, you probably never will, because this is a podcast that makes very little sense. It's time for Sleep With Me, a podcast that puts you to sleep. And coming up here is ways we're able to bring this podcast free twice a week. If you're a regular listener, remember, when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, think about it. How do I get this great podcast I sleep to every night? That way you could think about supporting the show during the daytime. If you need any resources at this time for mental health, self-care, or to support the Black members of our community, because Black Lives Matter, there'll be links to organizations in the show notes. And yeah, here's the ways we're able to bring this podcast for free. Hey, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new, or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the loudest, most brash part of the show, because I get to thank the listeners who supported the sponsors so I can be here to put you to sleep in just a little bit. And I want to thank Florian, who got a mattress from Helix Sleep. When you get that Helix mattress, share with me about the unboxing. What mattress did you get paired with? Did you go with the Lux model? Are you like a lot of listeners that are counting the day down till that mattress gets delivered? Like Florian, if you support a sponsor, tag them, tag me in a social media post so they know their partnership with Sleep With Me is valuable. You appreciate it. You hear the messages, and I can try to thank you like Florian on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. And you can find links to organizations in our show notes so you could practice good self-care. You could reach out if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And there's a list of organizations so you can support the Black members of our community, because Black Lives Matter. That's the second part of Sleepy Supporter Zone. The third part of the sleep, the third absurd pronunciation of third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. And I want you to go over to bailproject.org and take a look at the Bail Project. Take a look at how far your support can go. Go to bailproject.org. The Bail Project is a national revolving bail fund, which is a critical tool to prevent incarceration and combat racial and economic disparities in the bail system. And you can find a link to that in our show notes as well. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Well, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake. Thoughts, you know, so things on your mind that you're thinking about from the past, present, or future. Usually for me, it's like thinking about stuff in the future that's related to, that could happen in the future that's because of the past. That I need right now to like very little present, except for presently you need to think about this stuff and really remember it in visceral detail. So thoughts, so those are some thoughts that go through my mind. Feelings, emotions could come up from those thoughts. They could just be there from the day or long, you know, they could just be there. Emotions are another way to say it. And then physical sensations that could be keeping you up. It could be other stuff, too. Changes and noises, work routine, life routine. Maybe too much poutine. You know, you say, oh, boy, I had too much of that is that how you say it, poutine? Suddenly I'm like, oh, boy, did I say that incorrectly? I don't know. Maybe that would probably help you fall. So you say, that's a comfort food, Scoots. I say, oh, boy, it is, I think. But so whatever's keeping me awake, it could be any of those things. It could be something else. What I'm here to do is create a safe place and take your mind off of that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to smooth the safe place. I'm going to pat the safe place. I'm going to rub it down. All in enticing, inviting, you say, oh boy, that looks like Scoots is putting some work in there. Create a real nice, safe place. And then what I'll do is I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'll use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky. Pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. So I'll go off topic. I'll go on tangents and then, you know, get distracted. And lots of filler words and stuff like that. So let me see if you're new. I'm here to keep you company while you drift off is the summary of really my job. Well, first, my first job, if you're new, is to earn your trust or your mild. I want to earn your trust in such a way that you forget I'm here. Talk about trustworthy. But in a way you say, well, I don't need to really think about you at all. How come there's not more relationships like that? Tell me about, like, maybe that would be a little bit, well, what are you looking for? Well, someone that forgets I'm around, except when I, you know, of course, there's times I would like to be remembered. But when I say I'm your boar friend or your boar bae or your boar cuz or your boar sib or your boar bestie, that's really what I'm looking for in our relationship here is to say, well, just forget I'm there. Don't even bother acknowledging me. And then that'll make me very happy. That would be a passive aggressive way. Usually nanas say that. Oh, just don't pretend I'm here at all. Except when I groan in displeasure at what you're, you know, that you're not acknowledging me. And all the, oh, and don't pay attention to the advice I give you. Oh, no, no, no. That's what the Nana in my mind says pretty much 24 hours a day. But I've learned to prioritize other voices. Because she doesn't really mean that, right? She says, oh, no, don't listen to what I said about you, about first grade, second grade, third. Don't, oh, no. Don't think about what I'm talking to right in your ear. Just ignore me. But she really means pay full attention because by going and saying hello to someone, it could unlock total consequence for the universe. Okay, but what was my point? Let's see. If you're new, don't pay any attention to me. That's the first thing about this podcast. It's a podcast you barely need to listen to. So you can kind of let me be background noise. I say, I want to be your background noise. That's like, I don't want to be, you know, I'm not looking for it to be the number one person. You say, what are the podcasts you can't forget about? And then you make a list and you say, oh, I forgot about Sleep With Me. I listened to that 8,000 hours last year. Totally forgot. That's when I say, well, if you listen to, I don't like, if you forgot about me, but you actually use the podcast, no problem. Now that you remembered, spread the word, but cool. So it's a podcast you don't need to listen to. And that's really the best way if you're new. It's, I know there's a temptation to pay attention or wait for the podcast. You say, when's it getting started? I say, well, I'm here. I'm here keeping you company right now. So it's a podcast that never really gets started, and Peter's, you know, but once it gets going, it peters out right after that. And most of the time I'm chasing around Peter's, I'm saying, does Peter have a cottontail? Like, because I'm trying to catch up with it. Because I saw, where goes Peter's cottontail? Like, which way's a bunny trail? Because I don't know, I don't even know what to look for in a bunny trail. Also, are there that many bunnies around here that use the same, that no one else uses that trail? It's just a bunny trail? Okay, so don't pay attention, barely listen to me. That's one thing. The other thing is there's a lot of sleep podcasts now, but this is the one sleep podcast that's not here to put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company. That's really my job. I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff, and ideally you drift off, like at your leisure. So I'm here to take your mind off stuff. And then if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here either way. So you say, well, I can't sleep. I'm saying, no problem. I'll be here before you tonight. I'll be talking about stuff and distracted by Peter's cottontail and my Nana. Is there any like sort of plant called the Peter's cottontail or like a coral? They say, oh yeah, that coral structure is known as the Peter's cottontail or Peter's cottontail. There's got to be, right? I got Peter Cott. You say, what was that? What was it when they put out that new version of that game with the person with the red light nose, operator? What they said, operator 2.0. There was Peter's cottontail. They say, you got to get that out of there with the tweezers. Okay, so. I thought, so don't listen to me. I'm here to barely put you to sleep, to take your mind off stuff, to be your boar bud. And that's why the show's about an hour, to give you plenty of time to drift off. So those are two things to know. The other things to know, structure of the show. That's another good thing for you to know. And it's interesting because this is episode 900. I think probably it's episode 900. Not 100% sure about that. And this structure of the show has developed over 900 episodes since 2013. It's slowly evolved to this, very slowly. Though if you're new or you listen to old episodes, you say, well, some people it feels the same. Some people it feels like a very big difference. But the show hopefully is always getting, it's like microscopically getting better. And you'd say, Scoots, is there something smaller than a microscopic improvement? And I'd say, yeah, probably like electron microscopically getting better. Okay, that fits more. Yes, our show is like we take the microscopic analogy down to the electron in the way I improve things. you know, one day I'll put it together enough electrons that you'll say, holy cow, you got yourself some sort of, I don't know, you might have enough to spin them around something. I say, don't worry, there's infinite dark matter in there, maybe. So, so the structure of the show, it's slowly developed, but it definitely can throw people off. So if you're thrown off or you're skeptical or you're doubtful, totally normal reaction, because this podcast is so different and structurally it's different. Show starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary. And even that slowly developed around the show because I want everybody to feel seen and welcome. So, you know, okay, this person's trying to make a safe place. So that's one. Then there's business. That's way. So you say, oh, it's free too. So I don't have to pay for, it's optional. This is what you say. This podcast actually works for millions of people and it's optional to pay for it. Versus being behind a paywall or something because of the sponsors. So the sponsors are next. We do the business up front. That's like a few minutes. Then there's about a 12 to 20 minute section I call the intro, which we're like 10 minutes into now. So it's a little late to tell you that, but where I explain what the podcast is, and it takes me a long time. And it introduces you to the creaky dulcet tones, the pointless meanders, the superfluous tangents. Me, my, you know, I come with a lot of stuff. I'm a bit different. So you can kind of get a sense. You say, okay, this podcast is a bit different. We like this. Yeah, I don't know. What's the opposite of an electron microscope? When you say a bit different, I think you spend too much time on your electron microscopic improvements. So that's the intro. The intro for the new listener is supposed to introduce you to it, but it also is like this podcast doesn't work for everybody, but also takes a while to get used to. So out of all those regular listeners, most of them said, hey, it took two or three tries for me to get used to the podcast. So kind of see how it goes. But then as you become a regular listener, like 2% of regular listeners skip the intro. They start the show at 20 minutes. And they just go from there. But 98, 97% of the rest of the listeners, they use the intro in different ways. But it kind of serves the same purpose. It's either part of their wind down routine or their falling asleep routine. So some people start it before they get into bed. Some people start it while they're at work, while they need a break. Some people start it in bed. But it eases you into bedtime, drifts you away from the day. So that's the idea, the intro. Then there's business between the intro and the show. That's just how podcasts are structured. So that's that. Then tonight we'll be doing a 900 look back. We'll just look at a type of episode we've done, real-time recipes. And we'll just take a look back at like those type of shows in a fun way. So it'll be real, like a bedtime story based on not a recap show, but a look back show, but really you could sleep right through it. But if you don't, if you can't sleep, I'll be here and be mildly interesting. And then the show closes with some thank yous and good nights because those are the people that made it possible to be here. And I appreciate that. So that's the structure of the show. I think that's it for new listeners. Like I said, I kind of grow on you. You know, when you, like, I don't know if trees say this, but they say, well, that moss is pretty nice. So that's grown on me like moss. Took forever. At first, you know, the other tree said, yo, what's that green stuff growing on you? Did you step on a frog or something? They said, no, I'm a tree. I've been here, you know, 800 years. Oh, well, you got some green, like fur growing on you. What, on the east side or the west side or the north side or the south side? I don't know. I'm a tree. Do I look like I have a compass? I mean, I know, but I'm being humorous. But yeah, I don't know what they, and you say, well, I can't see it. What's it on my rear? Can't turn around. Also, I'm a tree, so I don't really have ocular input devices or whatever those humans call those things, or birds have them too. But then, you know, I don't know if trees' time passes like for elves or something, but then you say, wow, This has a lot of good properties. One, I got a whole nother biome going. Gives me somebody to talk to. Cooling. Nice to touch. Leprechauns go and take naps on it sometimes, which is, interesting. Good to watch and listen to. And sprites do too, and some other forest friends. So that's cool. And it gives me some, it gives me some flair, like from that movie. You say, well, now I got moss. So that's a plus. I don't know how we got there with moss. I really have no idea where that came from. Oh, I'll eventually, for most listeners, I grow on them in their sense of taste. That's a metaphor. But for some people, they just don't like the podcast, or me. You don't have to give it a second try, but I would say give it a few tries just to see if it helps, because I made the show 900 episodes, so that's probably somewhere maybe 18 to 20,000 hours I've worked just on the production side of the show. I'm just guessing. But that's probably around at least 18,000 hours. I put that effort in because I care, because I've been there. I know how it feels in the deep, dark night, tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, all those things. And so that's one reason. Another reason is you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve some rest, whether it's this podcast or something else, like fans, another sleep podcast, meditation, whatever it is. You deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place of respite, and the world needs that. We need you rested so that you can flourish and live your life more fully, and it just will be better for everybody. If you got a little more space to be you. So that's why I make the show. So I really hope it can help you, but it doesn't work for everybody. So give it a few tries. I really appreciate you checking the show out. And then to everyone that's been here, whether you started the show in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, or 20, or you're listening in 2021 or 2022, what up? I hope it's sweet out there. Thank you so much. I'm so happy I get to help you, and thank you for helping me. I've grown and changed as a person a lot. I've slowly, again, whatever's less than an electron microscope, improved who I am, because the example you as a listener set for me with your kindness and support. And this really does feel like one of those rare two-way streets. I guess like the tree and the moss. You could be the tree, I'll be the moss. Or you could be the moss, I could be the tree. And I guess if I was a tree, then my Nana would live up there. She'd be some sort of bird or something, or a squirrel. So I'm glad you're here. Again, appreciate your time. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive because I want to put you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do that for you twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, it's Scoots here, and this is, once again, you're in my future. Oh boy, are you in my future. So good to see you there. You're in the future. I hope you're comfortable and snuggled in. So this probably, I don't know, because you're in the future. You know so much more than me. I mean, you probably did in my present anyway. But I'm hoping this is episode 900 that you're listening to. And that's a pretty big milestone. It's not as big as 500 or 1,000. Technically it is bigger than 500 Scoots. I say, well, yeah, but 500's like one of those numbers. And you say, well, what do you celebrate after that? And they'd say, well, every episode is a celebration for me. But it's pretty cool. I can't believe, I mean, to be honest, that I made 900 episodes. And for these 00 episodes, I do like to take a look back and say, huh, what have we come up with? Let's take a journey back to the past. And I had to pause the recording, everybody, a little behind the scenes because I couldn't find my list here. But I wanted to take a journey into the past to something we haven't done a review of, looking back at one style of episode that wasn't a series or something. So I was going to talk a little bit about, this is a very popular one, style of episode that we probably, looks like maybe do once a year, maybe twice a year, sometimes, maybe once a year. And that's real-time recipes. And so it's been a little, let's see, it's been about 60 episodes or 59 episodes. So it looks like the last one we did was 841. I don't think I've recorded one because I don't necessarily record all of these episodes in the order they're released currently. So I wanted to talk a little bit about where real-time recipes came from. Talk a little bit about where the status of it right now. And actually, like, I'm trying to connect with somebody, so that'll be interesting. You're in the future. We can't make any announcements about this, but trying to partner with somebody so that over the next few years we still have them coming out. So this will be a little behind the scenes, and then we'll kind of run through and think about some of these I've actually cooked recently, and then other, like some of these older episodes, I said, wow, I just made that, and kind of intentionally, not for this episode, but I said, hey, it's been a while since I made that. I used to make that all the time, and I even talked about it on the podcast. So we'll run through them, and I think this will be fun. It'll be a nice little episode. It'll be a nice little look back, very sleepy, because plenty of room for meanders. So if you're new, we have a style of episode we call Real-Time Recipes. And it, actually, you know what? Like, you could, okay, I got a friend coming over that, so let me talk to they're going to listen in on me talk. Hey, okay. Hey, they're going to listen in. I'm glad you're here. So I can tell you, I'm talking to you, listener. They're listening into my conversation, though, because they wanted to be here to just listen in on me. So, it's my imaginary. It's an imaginary friend anyway. Okay, so as you know, but if you're new, you might not know that. So real-time recipe is a style of episode where it's kind of like a bit like a cooking show. And the genesis of it, like, so back when I started the podcast, I had no idea, one, that I would even make 10 episodes, much less 900 episodes. But it also, like, one of the things about making a podcast that comes out like 100 times a year is you have to have, you constantly are in a state of like a production, pre-production and pre-production, like brainstorming. But that also like creates, like it keeps things fluid and it keeps things moving. And there's a lot of thought that goes into that. But also it does create a freedom to test stuff out and say, okay, I wonder if this would work on a sleep podcast. And then how can we really make it sleep with me and fun for the listener? So at some point, like once upon a time, there was like, I said, well, you know, there's like TV shows. Like, so there's like the, there's a couple different types of shows. So we'll mention them all. There's late night shows, then there's midday shows, like, and then there's morning new, like soft news shows that either come on after, like at 9 a.m., or there's local news shows and the soft sections of the local news. And a lot of those will have cooks on there. And actually, even my cousin Matt has been on there when he, like, at different times at different restaurants he was running. I saw him on his local news saying, well, here's how we make this. But like always, it's like a 4-minute segment, whether it's on like a famous like late night show or a show like Ellen, where the person comes and they say, well, yeah, how are you going to make olive tapenade yada, like you say, okay, well, it's a really simple recipe, but they only get like 6 minutes to prepare something. So they have different, for the most part, they're doing it and they say, okay, first thing you do is chop up all this stuff. I mean, this isn't like a cooking show, like Carla or something would have, where they're showing you, they're giving you a vague sense of creation. And this went on before the internet. So now you'd say, okay, we'll just go to our website to learn more and get the recipe there or watch the full video. But back then, I guess like the most and newest thing would be like those videos by Tasty and stuff where there's not even words. There's just ingredients they say, oh, here's a cup of eggs, drop it in there. So you're saying, okay, it makes it look so easy, which is not necessarily that it isn't easy. But it's just like they're doing more magic. They say, oh, and here's the tapenade that's been yada. And you say, well, what is it? Well, it's yuzu, that gives it the first yada. We soak it for 12 hours. So I always was struck, even as a kid, by how this was more of an it was entertaining on the entertainment level, and then having them interact, the comedy shows, like, especially when I was a kid, it was like Letterman or Conan, they'd be goofing around, and maybe they're having fun, or maybe the chef's like a big personality. So, like you say, okay, this is more for entertainment and not utility. So then I said, well, when I started making Sleep With Me, I said, well, wouldn't it be interesting? Like, they could never do that. But they say, okay, well, it's just like, it would be interesting, though, to say, well, what do you want to talk? So, Ellen, what do you want to talk about while the water boils? I said, well, this is a TV show. We only have 30. And they say, okay, well, so tell me about, it would just be interesting to me. But it wouldn't work because you say, well, it's just not realistic. Cause you say, well, how long is that going to be in the oven? 45 minutes. And they say, well, okay, we'll tell the network we're stretching the show out an extra 30. And what do you want to play? You want to play some cards, or we could get out a game and play it while it cooks. You say, oh no, we got to chop the green onions up, and the ginger. And then, yeah, then we could play a game, but also we have to stay by the oven because you got to keep an eye, and also the, whatever, you're doing that. So I became fascinated by this idea of like, well, could we do a cooking show in real time? And it looks like it was within the first, it was like towards when the podcast started to reach its first level of maturity. Because right around somewhere between 100 and 150 was when the podcast kind of started to say, okay, like started to become what you're listening to now. The first 100, 150 episodes or even the first like 400 or 500 were like all a part of the process, even the last 500 after that. Like a process of tiny refinements and stuff like that. But so I said, okay, I like that idea. That would be fun to try out. And they say, okay, so how's it going to work? And I have not listened to some of these episodes, and a lot of these episodes just aren't available at this time. Though hopefully at some point we'll be able to offer patrons some of these episodes. It's just some technological hurdles right now. But so, what was my point? I haven't listened to them, so I don't know, if they had what the kind of sequences are now and then how it's changed. I mean, one of the most important things, like, there's a couple things that I think are key to the real-time recipe episodes that are important, and I see as a cornerstone. So one is that you're the dinner guest, and you're the most important guest, and you've come over. and we're going to prepare a meal together. And I think, like, that's, like, an important part of, like, this idea of sharing meals and cooking together. And cooking is this form of socialization. And then again, like, right when I'm recording this, you know, something we're all, like, saying, oh, well, we got to do this on Zoom or over the phone or whatever. Or, you know, with my parents, I signed them up for HelloFresh at the beginning of this year. And now I'm so grateful I did that because now I get to, like, hear about their adventures in cooking. So while we can't share a meal, like, I feel like I'm sharing in their meal and the creation of their meal or hearing about it. You know, it's still a story that we can share with one another and connect about. So that's one of the cornerstones of the real-time recipe episodes is like, okay, you're coming over, you're my guest to cook dinner. Still, for the most part, they take place in my old apartment. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, that's where they started. Two, my old apartment didn't have a front, like my bedroom was in front of the front door. So I never used the front door. You couldn't use the front door because actually my dresser was where the door was. So I always used the back door, which went out to like the parking for the four apartments and a little grassy area. And it had good light at the dinner time part of the day, depending on where the light was. And it was just like a boxy kitchen, not very big, but big enough. I don't know, I just always liked that kitchen. It wasn't definitely not a fancy kitchen, but I don't know. I guess I lived there for a long time. And it was like when the podcast came to life and grew out, you know, matured. So I always picture it there versus where I live now, which even though I've been where I am now 2 years, I say, wait a second, like, I don't know. So, like, that's one thing is the setting. So the one thing is you're my guest. Then the second thing, and I don't know when this started, was we would go to the store together. And that was always a big part of it. And it still kind of is. It's something I struggle with because usually we go to TJ's and we would give TJ's all this free advertising. And, you know, I'm a human being. I was very spurned like that TJ started its own podcast and invested in making its own podcast and won't sponsor podcasts because I think it'd be a win-win for everybody. So it's like just part of my humanness, that I'm not perfect. I said, well, I'm not going to say it was like another thing that kind of like tainted it for me where I said, okay, can we still go to TJ's? Cause I'm feeling like, it's a one-way relationship. Like I pay you but now I miss TJ's. I think I've only been 3 times in 6 months. Well, that's actually, no, it was 7, so 5 months, 3 times in 5 months, maybe 4, but, so I miss you. I do. I miss you so much, TJ's. Oh, that's for Trader Joe's, and that's just because of line right now. I say, well, I don't have, quite the leeway in my schedule to, like, wait in line and then shop. It just pushes my shopping time. And I'm also like, oh, well, so, but I always thought that was really, like, a really fun element was like shopping as we're friends for the ingredients. I really like it for a sleep podcast because it offers the opportunity to kind of float through a place that's familiar, but everybody's grocery store and TJ's is different. But when I make the show, I'm at my TJ's for real, I mean, in my mind. And so it really gives me like a depth, immersive depth that I can be walking in there and narrating it like mentally. Like, so I'm in a theater, like I'm creating a theater of the mind and I'm in a theater of the mind, I guess, at the same time. And that kind of nesting thing always works well for sleep with me. It's like you want to have this reality you're seeing, I'm seeing through fogged up glasses almost, and then I'm describing it to you. So that was always an important element. And then my personal, and then like where real life hits, like you say I had like a crushy poo on someone I see there, like that would be part of, that became part of it just through natural development. So that was fun. But then that kind of, I said, well, I don't know. I kind of struggled with that. Also, I didn't have any crushes on anybody for a while. there. So I said, okay. But I said, probably, maybe, I don't know. It was always something I was like, I don't know how like comfortable I am with this. But it was something a lot of people related to, especially the awkward, my awkwardness, because I never talked to anybody I have a crush on at the store anyway. So it didn't really matter. So they said, okay, so that was an important part. And then the cooking of the meal kind of morphed because they say, okay, well, how long were we at the grocery store? But I think the purchasing and gathering of ingredients, I don't know, makes for a nice segment. And like having these segments, I guess like makes it more barely entertaining, where if we were just waiting for water to boil, I don't know, it's not as appealing for me. Say, well, I'm not sure if that structurally works for a silly podcast, because then if we would have to create another structure, because believe it or not, like to do this, it has to be a lot. There has to be structure for me to operate meanders in between. So again, it like offers, like I say, okay, in this segment, it could be anywhere from 5 minutes to 25 or 30 minutes, the shopping segment. Then there's the prep segment, and the prep segment has always kind of been, well, let's see how it goes. And then there was the delivery segment, or we never really ate at all. But at some point, pretty early on, there became like where it was like guests would come. Particularly guests, 80s movie and TV stars would show up. Not exactly sure. I know we had a John Hughes tribute dinner when John Hughes went to the big farm. I think Christopher Lloyd and Justin McElroy came one time. Cast a young water spray. We never had the cast of Hairspray. Holy cow, can you imagine if John Waters was in? That would be pretty dreamy. President Gooseberry. I don't know. Like, because I didn't write that down. So I don't even know other than those ones. I think Bo Bacon probably showed up, or some of the Bacon brothers, maybe. So that's like a short segment, the like arrival of the mystery guest, and then the last interaction while the meal is finalized and served. So those are always the segments, and it's always been something I really like doing. But it does bring up a couple things that are interesting about producing a sleep podcast and doing it for since 2013. And trying to keep it going and trying to keep the material going, but also being respectful and organized. Like all of these things have all these little parts, right? Because one thing I get is like, and this is a perfectly normal and natural thing. It's like people have their favorite episodes and they kind of say, well, geez, why can't every episode be like that? Or why can't like a lot of episodes be like that? And I'm the same way, you know, I like stuff and I like have the same tendency, but from the producing side, like, so I said, well, why can't there be 12 real time recipe episodes? This is like an imaginary thing, but I'm going to present it in that way. So why can't there be 12 real time recipe episodes or 6 real time recipe episodes a year? And I said, well, there's a couple reasons. One is like there is a sweet spot where what your favorite is not necessarily everybody's favorite. Real-time recipe episodes are very popular, but there's some people, they don't enjoy them. So my duty is kind of to keep a band, my duty, keep it away from dinner time, Scoots. I'll keep my duty away from dinner time. I just won't mention it again, but it's to like make sure to make the best sleep podcast I can at the time, and then keep it coming in varietals so I can say, okay, and adjust as needed. So I say, okay, well, we can't have, there's a couple of reasons we can't have the repeating stuff too often. It creates two things. One, the people it doesn't work for. So I have to be respectful of that. But also I have to make 100 podcast episodes a year. And in this, if people would scoop the stoots, you really need to do that. I say, well, one thing listeners might not know is like the newest episode every time pretty much is what covers, like does the lifting for all the other episodes that are out there for free. It kind of like, it's just it kind of right now how digital creation works, depending on where you are. It's like the newest episode, ideally helps cover the costs of all of the other distribution of all the other episodes or whatever. So a lot of times I say, oh, well, why, like, I say, well, it's just part of making the show, like, it's just part of keeping the show going. And I don't know, I like the challenge of making 100 episodes a year, 90 episodes, or whatever we're at right now. But now I forgot, I got to keep things spread out for me, because otherwise I would get burned out. And I say, I can't do any more real-time recipe episodes. Like, I think I had to take a period where I just took, I needed a break from my relationship with TJ's. And I said, well, I just need a break now, I've been paying for dinner every single time I come here. And, you never offer even to pay the bill. And they said, well, we're a grocery store, sir. And they say, well, we gave you a bunch of free, you used our grocery store for free material and you enjoy our groceries. I say, okay, I just need a break then. Anyway, I see what you're saying. You have a valid point, but I need a break for a little while. And I think we did take a break in there, maybe permanent. I don't even know, because I haven't listened to any of these episodes. So that's one thing. The other thing is so there's just like keeping things like from being repetitive for me or for the listeners is something I factor in. Then it's just like planning and pre-production and those kind of things. And then like some things are planned out, like Tuesday episodes are the least sketched out, like where I have to do a lot more planning for the written episodes and the TV show episodes. I have to do more forecasting for, so it's like, oh, I'm forecasting, oh, how many episodes, what months are those falling in? So the Tuesday episodes give me like a little bit of like a breather, where some weeks I say, okay, let's just record our Tuesday episode. What's it going to be? I don't know. What are we going to do? Well, let's record in a half hour. Well, let's do a Carole King. Okay, we'll do a Carole King episode. Like, because otherwise, I don't know, it's just part of the production process. And that gives me a little bit of a breather where a lot of the other stuff, it has to be like, it's siloed in a different way. The other thing is that I've only done recipes that I've cooked on my own, not that I've invented, but I've made my own. So they aren't recipes that I've taken from someone else that may be their property. And that's important to me because they say, well, even if it's a vague ownership, I don't want to repurpose someone's recipe unless I've been cooking it for years. And I say, well, it doesn't even resemble what the recipe was. Now, maybe we'll change that in the future. I don't know, but we'll see. But and that also limits me because they say, okay, I'm only going to do real-time recipe episodes about food I cook, I eat like a few times a year that I really enjoy, that I'm excited to share, of recipes I've made my own. And again, this isn't a call for recipes because I can't, that's like, again, goes back to the, like, I just don't have the workflow to take inbound recipes because I say, well, I'd have to ask my lawyer about it. And then I'd have to I just don't have the inbound capacity to do that. Though I appreciate it if you want, you say, well, I'll give you recipes. I say, yeah, thank you. But, it's not that I wouldn't want them. It's just that there's not, just not possible. So, that's another limitation. And also it's a limitation because it's only possible for me to create a bedtime story sleepy thing if I'm I have it deep within my mind, like the pathways to that recipe are really well established. So that limits the releases or why it's been released the way it has. Though it looks like in the past, I don't know, at some point we started putting out 100 episodes versus 150 episodes. And also, when I first did this, I had plenty of recipes, And they say, okay, those are all the recipes that I cook on a regular basis so that I don't, that aren't somebody else's recipe. So I think that's it, more or less. So let's run through some of these and just take a look at and see how it goes. So the first one I think we did was episode 118, so real blast from the past, and that was flatbread pizza. And this is a recipe that I've had in 2020, but not recently, probably somewhere January, February, maybe March, but I'm thinking February 2020, because I was helping take care of somebody, and I think I made it at their house in February or January. And it's flatbread pizza. It's very simple, very effective, very tasty one. And basically you're taking Trader Joe's lavash, either whole wheat or non-whole wheat, but I say go with the whole wheat. Some sort of pizza sauce or spaghetti sauce even. And if you're doing Trader Joe's has pizza sauce, and they also have the vodka sauce, spaghetti sauce, or pasta sauce. Both those are really good. And then usually what you'll do is you'll put garlic powder, not garlic salt. And though now I'll put garlic powder and some of their onion salt on there, and but just don't use any other salt. So I'll use those two things. Then, so you take a sheet pan. So the first thing you do, I'm already ahead of it, is you take a sheet pan and you get some olive oil in the sheet pan and use a brush to spread around. And then you put the lavash on there. Then you put, I like to put some more olive oil on the lavash on the other side. Then I put the sauce on. And again, you could go no sauce, cream sauce. This is very flexible. Then you put this, so then you put the sauce. And then if you are doing a traditional tomato-based pizza, then you want to put on, you want to put some garlic powder and some of the onion salt on there, or onion powder and then your own salt. Just trust me, like those sauces just aren't going to do it. Like having some garlic powder on there, and I'm just saying a sprinkling to taste. So if you've never worked with garlic powder or onion salt or onion powder, just a light dusting at first until you develop your, you know, until you get to, and this is a recipe you could have every week or every other week or every month. I've been doing a lot of my own dough and stuff, so I don't like pizza dough, so I don't do this recipe very often anymore. Also, between 2008 when I came up with it, in 2016, 17, I had it like a lot. So I did get a little burned out. And then also Trader Joe's has their own, they have this new pre-cooked pizza, what do they call it? Like pizza crust that's like a, in their bread section that is also very good. It's a thicker one. So then, but this is a flatbread pizza. Okay, then you put your cheese on and then any toppings. And then you put it in a blistering oven that's been preheated at like 500 for like 20 or 30 minutes. And it'll cook, and ideally you're going for almost a char on the edges, but it'll cook pretty fast. But you'd be surprised how much heat that lavash can handle, especially when it's soaking in the oil. And so that is something I've had this year. The next one was 161, and it says pasta and tacos. And I'm guessing this one is like one of my ode to meatball ones, but I'm not, like, that's what I think it is. And so I don't know what the pasta was for this. Maybe it was two different, like two meals. That's probably what it was, because I probably didn't think I'd be making this podcast. And if I would have known that, I would have only done one. I would have split this into two episodes. So I'm guessing that 161 was like a cream pasta with a bit like, so a heavy cream pasta, heavy cream Parmesan and bacon sauce with a, like a tortellini pasta herb. So it's like, I think that's what it is. If it isn't, I'll do that as an episode. But you, basically you have tortellini, cook the tortellini, you undercook it by 2 minutes or a minute based on the instructions, and rinse it in cold water, so it's not cooking anymore. I guess I'll just do a couple of these because I'm not going to get through all these. But so, and then what you do is you take bacon, which is already cooked, or you could cook it. You'd have to drain the, but then you cook, you take olive oil, a couple tablespoons, a tablespoon or two of garlic, fresh garlic chopped. Oh no, you don't do the garlic first. You do some basil and some fresh basil and fresh parsley chopped in the olive oil. Just quickly put it in there. Then add the garlic. This is just a warning that I gave on the show. Do not overcook the garlic. Be very careful on that. And then, I don't know the like off the top of my head, but then you put in heavy cream and Parmesan. And I think that's it. You put some hot pepper in there. Then you add the bacon, though. And then you kind of, like the Parmesan, you don't actually even have to reduce it very much because then you put the pasta back in, and because the pasta still needs 2 minutes, it'll soak up enough of the cream to where it'll become a thicker sauce. So that's that one. And then the tacos one is something I just had like 2 weeks ago or a week ago, which is like, so there's a very, I think it's a very American recipe, which is ground beef tacos. And you get the mix for 99 cents and then you, you brown your ground beef, you add the mix, you add some water or maybe some tomatoes or something. You simmer it and then you serve it in taco, you know, hard tacos or whatever. That's like a, it's a meal, a staple from my childhood. But one thing you can do, and then you can do this on the grill in the summertime, is instead, so let's say you're going to do a pound. You say, okay, so you take your pound of ground beef, you take your taco seasoning, and you could even just do that. You just put the taco seasoning in and then knead it in with your hands and then make meatballs. And they either fry or grill those meatballs. But you could also add in some breadcrumbs or some eggs as a binder. Or this time I added tomatoes. Now I did 2 pounds of two different kinds of ground with different, you know, fats to kind of spread it out. Two different, like a low sodium and then a spicy taco seasoning. And then a can of tomatoes, like with a little bit of extra seasoning in there. And then I kneaded all that together. And then I formed those into, this time I formed them into more logs because it was an experiment. But in when I did that recipe, it was just meatballs. And then again, you could grill those indoors or outdoors. I think at the, for that recipe, I was grilling them indoors on a cast iron grill on the stove, which makes the whole apartment stink. But, yeah, and then you serve it just like you would a ground beef taco, but instead of like being simmered in water, it's everything's in there. So sometimes you got to make sure, because it is ground beef, so you say, okay, you don't have to cook it, like you can cook it more like where you're getting a crisp on the outside and then the inside, you don't have to do it well done. You could do it medium well, or you could, you know, you could cook it all the way, the pink out of it. And so, yeah, I had that, and actually, like, it really is flexible. We had it for dinner, then we had it for lunch, and then we had it with a daily harvest bowl. I had it for two lunches, like, where I just cooked, put the ground beef in, and then some beans, and then the daily harvest bowl. So those were great. That was episode 161. Then episode 202, it looks like, was olive breadcrumb pasta. So this is a really good one. A lot of people have had breadcrumb pasta. I think it was popular in like 2014. But what I'll do is I'll cook some chicken thighs ahead of time, either on the grill or whatever. You could poach them or bake them or fry them, pan fry them. But you want them cooked to finish. And then you also prep your pasta, like your spaghetti. And again, drain that, make sure it's not cooking. And then you just take your bowl. You want to hold some, I think in this one, you do want to hold a little bit of reserve some pasta water. But basically, again, you take some olive oil, saute some garlic. This is just from what I can remember. So I don't know if you do anything else. Then you put breadcrumbs, you toast the breadcrumbs for a minute. then I toss the chicken in there, chopped up. Then I put in a ton of olives, like really good olives, like kamikata or whatever, however you say that, chopped up too. And then you put the pasta in, maybe some pasta water, olive oil, and that's it. And then that's a delicious meal too. And I had that this year within the last few months. Grilling with gooseberry, I'm assuming we made, like, this is before I went back east one time in the summer. So we probably made Italian sausage and salt potatoes. Salt potatoes are like a new, like Italian sausage was like a staple of my childhood. Because where I grew up in central New York, there was just a lot of, quality. We would get them. There was like a German place that had good Italian sausage, and then an Italian place that had good Italian sausage. And so, and then salt potatoes are a kind of potato that's like from central New York, that we grew up on, which is like a small, like one of those small potatoes, I don't know what you call them. And then you basically are like boiling them in salt water, like your homemade salt water. And then you have them with drawn butter. So not exactly healthy, but very delicious. Very, very delicious. Then Worcester sauce, cheddar bacon soup, and this is like actually like is based on a recipe, but I think I changed it around enough that I think like they make it in Disney World. They serve it at their like Canada restaurant, Canada Steakhouse. But now they even, you could get it on fries, poutine with this. But it's just like a creamy soup, like with cheddar, bacon, roux. Like, I think you start with make a roux, I would presume. Like, roux, sing roux. That's like a song that my daughter loved when she was a kid. So you make a roux, which is like butter. I think this is it. Your aromatics or whatever. So you have carrot and celery maybe, and then butter and flour. Then you add the cream in, and then it thickens. Then you add the bacon, cooked bacon in. I think this one had like beer, so you could use like NA beer. And then you probably reduce it, or maybe you add the cheese in, and the cheese thickens it after you like lower the heat. So that's another one. Then stuffing and mashed potatoes. This might have been like a recalling of when we had a deep fried Thanksgiving one time. This is before I like in like 2012 or 2013, before I like stopped drinking. But we deep fried stuffing, mashed potatoes, and turkey, and probably I think we put cranberry sauce inside. And I think this one was just talking about how I make stuffing and mashed potatoes. Then right after it, so this is like interesting where I didn't spread it out because like I probably was like, oh, like we did the lich, which was like a sandwich based, this was my own recipe, but influenced by panini sandwiches or Giordano Brothers in San Francisco. I think was what it was called, maybe. Like, they would have these big corned beef sandwiches with, or you could get a pastrami. You could get anything, but it would have fries and coleslaw and an egg. And so it was my take on that. This was for Super Bowl Sunday one year. I did the recipe, but, so for me, it was like, I love rye bread. So rye bread, either pastrami or corned beef, not fresh, like from the butcher or whatever. An egg, I would use a hash brown patty because it just makes it easier if you're doing it at home. Coleslaw, but you don't, like, you need a coleslaw that has a low moisture. So either just a coleslaw without the mayo or a light, like barely mayoed coleslaw. And I think those are all the ingredients. Oh, and cheese, of course, of course. And probably if I'm having pastrami, I want like a nice Swiss. So that sounds delightful. Then we switched to 530. So that was 489. And then 537, we did salad. Now, I have no idea about that one, but I do consider salad pretty important. And just chopping up. And I, you know, I do like, I haven't been good about it lately. But I think this was probably my good, that's wild that it was like 400 episodes ago. But I think it's probably when I developed my salad style from TJ's, which again, now that I've been scorned or now that the world kind of changed, I don't go there so often. But I would buy, like I did buy their bagged salads, but I would buy the cruciferous crunch and then a regular, or not regular, but you know, like a more of like a, like a, like a different leafed salad. And those would be my bases. You mix like maybe two of the lettuce base with a cruciferous crunch and then add in other stuff. Since then I've become a big proponent of Trader Joe's has two different sun-dried tomatoes. They have one in a bag and then they also have one in oil, and either one or both. I love sun-dried tomatoes with salad. But yeah, they're just like having a salad, and I don't know how I stretched that one out, though. Then it was 6:52. It was real time under pressure. So again, it, like that was when I must have, I think this was when I first got my Instapot, but maybe I'd had it for a while. And that was like probably, I think we made corned beef like dinner in that. And I don't know, it's been a while since I made corned beef in the Instapot, and I don't know if I ever got that recipe to where I liked it, or maybe that one was it. I don't know. Like, so that's a question I just don't have the answer to. Okay. Then 7:36 was, Patox, real time Patox, but I don't think I had Patox. So that was like a, must've been a curry based recipe, but I don't know what we were making. Was it like, because I'm trying to picture it in my head, because I don't think I had Patox, which is a kind of curry paste, or they also make simmering sauces. I did find a couple local places that have it. I think you can also order it online. And I got into Patox because back when I had a job, I think, who's that guy? Jamie Oliver. He's big into it. Maybe he was the one that introduced me to it. And then for a very brief time when I worked for the county, it wasn't my job to go to restaurants that imported a lot of ingredients to do this one kind of check. But I did do it once, and I remember I bought a ton of Patox while I was there. It's just a good, really well-made a curry paste that's easy. You know, you can make your own, and they have a selection. So you say, okay, this is the kind of flavor I'm looking for. So that was some sort of curry. Then 7:56 was real-time broth. So that's right where I was talking about bone broth, but not making my own, but different things you could use bone broth for that you would have been making anyway. It's so funny that I remember the older episodes way better. So that's what I mean. These are when I was saying, okay, what am I going to do a real-time recipe episode about? So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think of like, noodles, anything. I guess I'm always picturing my Instapot, but maybe I was used to talking about just using broth for, sure there was something I had that was a go-to broth recipe. They said, oh, yeah, use bone broth in this, even using it in ramen. So maybe it was a ramen recipe. I don't know. That's a good question. It was only 150 episodes ago, and I don't remember. Also, shout out to episode 433, which was real-time wall bed assembly. So that wasn't a recipe, but that was when I bought a Murphy bed for my daughter, which we no longer have. So I think I probably talked about that, but I mean, we haven't had it for a few years, but so 433. So that was like, I don't know what year that was, probably 2016, 2017, 2015. See, 2014 would be 150. 2015 to 2016. So 2016, I guess. But so I bought her a wall bed, like a Murphy bed, because like at the time we were living in this one bedroom apartment. So she had a bedroom and then I slept in the living room with a divider up. This is when I was like, this was most of the time I was making the podcast. But so, and her bedroom wasn't huge. And I said, okay, well, like, how are we going to have room to play and, you know, do stuff? Well, maybe I buy a wall bed. And then if we move somewhere else, we could use it. And ended up not working out as well as I would have thought because of a couple of things. So if you're ever in the market for a wall bed, one, there's not a lot of companies that make them. And like, I mean, other than like, if you're in a position of, you know, sky's the limit, you're in great shape because you probably buy a bespoke one or there probably are really high quality ones. But beyond that, for like regular people, it's like, oh, there's not really that many options. And then even the options, they're just not like it, for the price and then the quality of materials, it just doesn't match up. And so that was one thing. And so then it looked good when it was closed, but it wasn't, you could never close it fully. Like if the bed was fully made and the pillows were in it, you could like, so if you're already, if you're buying it because you're in a small apartment, like the one thing we would have to do is take all the pillows out and then stuff all the blankets and then we could get it closed. So I don't know, we just didn't end up closing it as much as we would have wanted just because, like, we just didn't have the space. So I don't know. And then when we moved, the place we moved to, the bedrooms are in the basement, or the, like, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. It's like kind of part of a hill or something, so... There's a basement with just two rooms, and those are the bedrooms. But the ceilings are really low. They're not normal size ceilings. And so when I measured it, I mean, they're not super low. We don't have to duck down. But, like, I could touch the ceiling, no problem. So the wall bed was too tall, wouldn't have fit in. There just wasn't the clearance for it. It would have been taller than the ceilings in our current place. So... Then I had to sell it on Craigslist, and that was, like, literally, like, I was trying to, like, sell it for, like, 50% of what I paid for it, because it wasn't that old, and then the person didn't bring any tools, and I just tried to sell it as is, and then so it ended up, I said, oh, I thought they would take it apart, and they said, no, no, you got to take it apart with us, so it was, like, a 3 or 4 hour ordeal. But the episode, but all that aside, it was a great memory having a wall bed, and the dream's still alive. Like one day, a dream of having the wall bed with all the fixings, you know, where you just pull it down and the pillow. I mean, I guess there's no way to keep the pillows there realistically anyway. And then I was just always worried. I said, this thing is like, I put it together. I was pretty confident in my putting it together, but I said, I don't know if this thing is like, and then I wondered if I was going to get, because you have to like secure it to the wall pretty good. I don't know. So those are, but the episode came out really good. That was another one people loved, is like putting something together in real time. And I've always dreamed about doing more of those, but I just haven't bought a lot of stuff. Like I think the last few things I bought, yeah, where I was like, oh, I could do that as like a put together. Like most of the stuff I get from IKEA, and even then I haven't bought anything, you know, since then, other than a couple of plant stands. So one day we'll do more real-time assembly, because those are one. And then the last episode we did was 841, so 59 episodes ago, red curry and jasmine rice. And I guess that was with my old Instapot, which I could talk about for a second, but... yeah, I love making rice in the Instapot, and curries are really good. Anything you're going to make with liquid is going to come out really good in the Instapot, just delicious. So that's another one that I really enjoyed. But yeah, so Instapot passed on to the big farm. So I guess I got it in whatever, 20 whatever. And it was kind of my fault. Like, I was trying to do this technique. I'd been using it all day. And I know what happened was, like, it overheated, like, because I was, like, I did, like, multiple sautés after pressure cooking something. And when I say multiple sautés, I was trying to reduce something. So I probably did, like, 30, for 30 minutes to an hour, when I should have just reduced it afterwards on the stove. And then it just shut down. And then, so I just like overloaded the circuits. I did have a great interaction with Instapot, but it was out of warranty. And they were like, yeah, it's not really fixable. So I did manage to get a used, like a one that was returned, like out of the box. So it all worked out. So I still have that Instapot. And then now I have like two tops and two inserts. So that's nice. And yeah, so that's a little bit about real-time recipe. Hopefully we'll have one coming out soon in the night, you know, maybe like 940s to 960s again. And I appreciate you so much coming by and listening to me tell you about, and just celebrate episode 900. I totally forgot that's why you were here. Thanks for coming over. And let's cook something together soon, all right? Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Amy, Lauren, and Matt, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Sarah, Ellery, and Margaret, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Jillian, Portia, and Amir, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Shelley, David, and Ash, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Kaz, Tina, and George, thank you, thanks, and good night. Grant, Adrienne, and Julie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Alexander, Alex, and Mike, thank you, thanks, and good night. Anna, Madison, and Jeremy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Nicole, William, and Polly, thank you, thanks, and good night. Ray, Kate, and Megan, thank you, thanks, good night. Morgan, Lori, and Anna, thank you, thanks, and good night. Claire, Hannah, and Kaylee, thank you, thanks, and good night. Emily, Amanda, and Kim, thank you, thanks, good night. Philip, Siobhan, and Bill, thank you, thanks, and good night. Hannah, Sophie, and Megan, thank you, thanks, good night. Octa, Kate and Kelly, thanks, good night. And Kevin and Adrian, thank you, thanks, and good night. We're able to bring this podcast free thanks to people like the people I just listed, the patrons, and the people who support the sponsors. So I really appreciate that. And then Sleep With Me exists a free podcast because the people that spread the word, I really appreciate that too. It helps grow the show and helps other people get some rest or discover new podcasts to listen to. And speaking of new podcasts and things to check out and spreading the word, here's something I want you to know about. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53. Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.